In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. So today we've come to the last Sunday of Great Lent, in which we honor our Holy Mother among the saints, St. Mary of Egypt. Her icon is on the back wall there in the corner. And St. Mary spent her youth in pleasure and sin, and then one day she heard about some pilgrims who were going to Jerusalem. And so she decided to go along with them because that sounded like a fun time, like a cruise, you know. And so she was going to just continue her sinful life on this cruise to Jerusalem from Alexandria. Now, when she got there, it just so happened to be right before the feast of the Elevation of the Cross. And it was going to take place in the Church of the Resurrection, and there was a piece of the wood of the true cross that Christ was crucified on. So Mary thought, you know, she would go along and venerate the cross also. So when she tried to enter the church, she wasn't able to get through the door somehow. And at first, she just thought, well, it was because there's a big crowd of people and everybody was coming in, and she just couldn't get in because there's so many people. And yet, even when after a while, when everyone was pretty much inside and the door was perfectly wide open, she tried several times to enter again and was still prevented by a mighty force, almost as if invisible soldiers were holding her back. So she was not able to enter the church. And all at once, she had what the scriptures and the Holy Fathers describe as a spiritual awakening. So like the prodigal son who came to himself, you know, he was feeding the pigs and he didn't have any money, and all of a sudden he went, what am I doing? You know, my father's servants have bread to eat and I'm starving here. I'll go back and return to my father and be one of his servants. So Mary had a similar experience, and she realized that she had sinned and displeased God. And so her conscience reproached her and showed her that she needed to repent. And seeing the icon of the Mother of God above the door of the church, she prayed to the Mother of God that she be permitted to enter the church and made a solemn promise to do whatever was pleasing to God after that. So now she was able easily to walk right in, and she venerated the true cross. And when she came out of the church, she heard a voice telling her that if she would cross the Jordan River into the desert, she would find true peace. So Mary fulfilled her vow and her promise and remained alone in the desert for the next 47 years, where she struggled greatly in prayer and fasting, and with God's help achieved a very great height of spiritual life, including, even though she was illiterate, never gone to school, she gained, just by divine inspiration, an amazing knowledge and understanding of the scriptures. She was given the gift of clairvoyance, and she knew when Elder Zosimus found her in the desert, she knew what his name was, what monastery he was from, and all these things. She knew that he was a priest. And she was even granted the grace to walk on the water. The divine services of Vespers and Matins in honor of St. Mary of Egypt show how she embodies and fulfills what has been shown to us in the first four Sundays of Lent. You know, each Sunday we have a theme, the first Sunday and all the way through to now. So in a sense, this fifth Sunday is sort of the culmination of all the previous four Sundays. So just as the first Sunday of Lent celebrates the triumph of Orthodoxy in the veneration of holy icons, so it was the icon of the Mother of God that Mary turned to in prayer, which began her change from the life of sin to the saving life of repentance. And in so doing, St. Mary herself became like a living icon for us of repentance and holiness. And as the second Sunday of Great Lent honors the practice of spiritual prayer and calling upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, so too Mary of Egypt prayed by calling upon Christ and his most holy mother for help in repenting of her sins and receiving the light of Christ. And just as the third Sunday of Great Lent celebrates the adoration of the precious and life-giving cross, so St. Mary of Egypt was strengthened by venerating the true cross, and then she herself was crucified to the world, and as she had once been the weapon of sin, now through the cross she overthrew all the weapons and cunning of the demons. And on the fourth Sunday of Great Lent, we honored our Holy Father, St. John Climacus of the Ladder, which represents the ascetic life in overcoming the passions and acquiring the virtues. So too, Mary of Egypt chose to follow the ascetic way of life, and as it says in the Matins, cutting down the desires of her soul and passions of her flesh with the sword of abstinence, and choked her sinful thoughts with the silence of the ascetic life, watering all the wilderness with the streams of her tears and causing the fruits of repentance to spring up for us. In the Gospel of Mark today, for this Sunday, the Lord foretells his passion and crucifixion and resurrection. However, James and John are really just thinking more of worldly honors and worldly glory. They want to sit at his right hand and his left hand in the kingdom of heaven and receive honor and have everybody else sort of wait on them and so on. But our Lord admonishes them and us, you know, that if we wish to be great, then we must be the servant of all, not to exalt ourselves. This is the whole way of humility that we're called to. And in this Gospel of Luke that we just read, which is in honor of St. Mary of Egypt, we hear about this sinful woman who washes Christ's feet with her tears and wipes them with her hair and kisses his feet and anoints them with fragrant oil. And for these acts of love and sacrifice, she receives forgiveness of her sins. St. Gregory the Great talks about how this sinful woman used her, you know, her beautiful hair and her lips and, you know, perfumes and things to lure men and to glorify herself, you know. And now that she's repenting, she uses those very same things to serve Christ. You know, she washes his feet and wipes them with her hair and anoints his feet with fragrant oil and kisses his feet and shows her love for him. So brothers and sisters, our Holy Church is showing us an important message today, that the world and the passions and the devil want to lull us into a spiritual sleep. And on this subject of spiritual sleep and this idea of awakening from that, I think everyone has seen the movie The Wizard of Oz, right? I mean, pretty much most of you have seen that. Anybody not seen The Wizard of Oz? Okay. Then you'll remember, if you think back, there was this one scene where they're going on the Yellow Brick Road and they see the Emerald City, so it's sort of an image of heaven, you know. And the Wicked Witch puts a big field of poppies. You know, she says, poppies, something poisonous, but looks nice and smells good. And poppies will put them to sleep, you know. And so they start running across this field of poppies to get to the Emerald City. And, of course, they begin to fall asleep. Dorothy, Toto, the Cowardly Lion, you know, they all lay down and fall asleep. And the Tin Man is very upset, and he calls for help. And the Scarecrow says, well, who's going to hear you? But, of course, the Good Witch hears, and she makes a snow to drop on the people, on the characters. And this snow breaks the spell, and then they wake up. And then they make it to the Emerald City. Well, this, I know it sounds kind of, you know, it's a fantasy story, of course, but really, in a way, it serves as an image of this kind of idea of spiritual sleep that's caused by the evil one that tries to prevent us from reaching the kingdom of heaven and living a spiritual way of life. So in this final week of Great Lent, let us imitate St. Mary of Egypt by calling upon Christ for his help to awaken spiritually, turning away from sinful things and drawing closer to him, that we too might be saved and rise with him in the holy resurrection. Glory be to our God.